With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello everyone and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. Very shortly, we'll be looking back at all the results from Tuesday night, as we'll be hearing from the managers at Marine and Whitby Town. And I'll be speaking to some of the new clubs to the Premier Division: Shore Lane, Barnsley Celtic, Lancaster City and Witton Albion. All four managers joining us on this week's first NPL show of the season. Plus later, we'll be discussing the FA Cup with the South Shields chairman, Jeff Thompson. We'll also be speaking to Tom Baker at Trafford, and we'll be discussing groundsmen with the Belper Town chairman, Alan Benfield. He'll be coming on the show later too. Oh, and much, much later, we'll also be previewing this weekend's fixtures with the one, the only, Matt Carruthers from the Non-League Daily. But before all of that, it's now time to head over to Monday night, as myself, Swampy and James headed over to Lancashire to watch Atherton Colliery's against Kendal Town in Division 1 North.
Welcome everyone to Alder House, the home of Atherton Colliery's. We're here on Monday evening to bring you some form of coverage of Atherton Colliery's against Kendal Town. It's half time, it's 0-0, it's bucking it down. We're in a stand that's got decent enough roof, we're staying dry. Swampy's here, James Hayes is here. I'm making his debut, signing from the county's podcast.
You put 7 days in.
Eh?
You put 7 days in on me.
Don't have to, mate. It's not league.
I'm on a dual reg.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Gibbo joins us as well. Gibbo, firstly, second game in tonight. It's 0-0. But how are you finding life as an Atherton Colliery fan in the NPL?
But I think we always kind of feared that we'd look a bit out of place, whether that be off the pitch. But more on the pitch, I thought we'd maybe look physically out of place, but we've worked hard over the summer. We've had a strength and conditioning coaching from the Marines, and I think physically we're more than match Colne and Kendal, and that's been the major worry we've had. Maybe we could look a bit more physical up front, but other than that, I think we've been doing well. We've been trying to play football.
First 10 minutes, certainly, it was very frantic, wasn't it? But then it kind of, when the weather started, it kind of descended a bit, didn't it?
The issue is, can you do well playing football in this league, or do you have to be more direct? And sometimes I think we will try and play football and we'll get caught out being a bit naive, really, but it'd be like when we were in the First Division of the North West Counties. We always tried to play football and we usually finished third or fourth, just out of contention. Not because you weren't good enough, but because you were guilty of playing too much football, in a sense. And it could happen this season.
But it started off well with that nice little away win at Colne. I mean, everyone round here, James and Swampy, would say Colne would be challenges for the playoffs this season. So, not bad that.
I think it helps. We know Colne as a team. We've played them in the North West Counties. We've played them in the League Cup final. The players were familiar with, their centre-half used to be here. It's, the problem lies when you play teams like Kendal, who you've never watched, you don't have a clue about. And other than Rich Sear, who used to play for Squires Gate, you're struggling with knowing how a player plays. It has its advantages, because you go out and you just play your own game, to use a cliche, but you don't think too much about the opposition's shape because you don't know much about it.
Do I know an interesting fact about Kendal Town?
Is it about mint cakes?
No.
Go on.
It's about Swampy's dad. Swampy's dad used to play for Kendal Town once upon a time.
Well,
true?
Actually, no, it's not true.
Oh, sorry, Nevermore. Nevermore.
No, they were called Netherfield at the time.
Netherfield. Nevermore, Netherfield.
Netherfield Town at the time, and they changed the name to Kendal Town, and they were one of two clubs to have shirt sponsorship for the first time ever, and it was promptly banned by the league in 1970 something or other. But interesting game tonight, Ben. The weather obviously plays its part, but both teams have been trying to play some football. The first 10 or 15 minutes, let's say, we're certainly from another's perspective, we're in the ascendancy, two or three good saves from the goalkeeper, and since then, really, the Kendal have had to Adler's goalkeeper only worked once, and a good save it was as well down his left hand side. But you know, second half, it's anyone's game really here, quite evenly matched two teams. And as you say, you know, Gibbo, if you've not really seen a team before, there's no worries, go out there and play your game. I think you're right what you're saying about up top. I mean, you've got two lads up top that look that they have the physicality, but they're not really putting themselves about at this moment in time, you know, with that upper body strength. And you can see the conditioning coach, because the guy on wide on the right, he's got a chest like Arnold Schwarzenegger, which sometimes doesn't help in football. But you know, it should be an interesting second half, especially with this weather. It's continuing. Surface is superb, but there will be mistakes. As the game goes longer and longer, you'll see more opportunities, more openings for either team, I think.
And obviously this is Division 1 North, and we're recording this on Monday. Obviously there were some midweek results as well, which we can't cover at the moment, but you can already start to see some teams who look quite good. And then again, on the other side, on the flip side, you can also see the teams that aren't. Anyway, James, your thoughts, speaking of which?
That's
what I just did there. I do apologise.
Why, what happened?
Well, we know what happened. It's Radcliffe Borough. We always lose the first game of the season.
Against Bamber Bridge, that's not
a bad goal. But again, we were saying before kick-off, it was a lot of first, looking at results as well. There might be a lot of first match jitters amongst the teams, but obviously you want the 3 points to start off, especially with the FA Cup coming up this coming Saturday for the first division. You need that form if you want to have a good, decent run, especially if you're coming against a team in the same division as you as well. For example.
What's interesting here tonight as well, though, is that the plethora of league managers. There's three or four league managers. There's scouts here watching the game. So again, regardless of what level you play at, the professionalism in this league and obviously in the North West Counties before that, but you see managers out all the time looking at teams, looking at players, and doing the homework for the next game, and that's something that Atherton Colliery's going to have to do this season. There's a lot of teams that have never played before, don't know a great deal about, but their management team will be out there on a regular basis looking at teams so they can compete.
And that said, I'm going through all the goal scorers from the weekend. I'm seeing Sefton Gonzalez for Clitheroe in their victory. I'm seeing Ben Deegan in Gossip North End's victory. Jerome Wright getting a few goals as well.
For
Ramit. James Dean at Trafford. He says, good league this year, Division 1, Division 1 North. You must be relishing it, having all these superstars coming.
Not just
the NPL show team. Anyway.
I have fanboy moments when I see some of these players walk into the ground.
Absolutely. just to add as well, congratulations to Scarborough kicking a ball in anger for the first time in their new stadium.
Yeah, and also, Scarborough, well, basically, it all nearly went pear-shaped for Berkey.
1,300 there at the Flamingo Land Stadium, not bad at all, so congratulations. Just to balance this out and mention Division 1 South, congratulations to Peterborough Sports, Cleethorpes Town, and Alf Church, who've all started their life in Division 1 South by winning.
Great result that for Alf Church. Yeah, Malik Town again, they were one of the teams we were saying last week. Obviously John Dunham might have been saying it as well, that could give it a really good goal, or they have to have a goal this year.
Of course they do. You talk about Cleethorpes there, didn't you?
Yep.
You know, they were FA trophy early in the season at Wembley. I always get them wrong. At the same token, they'll be up there this season, you would expect. It's very early days.
And we should say congratulations to John Dunham. We called it last week, Colby Town getting off to a 5-1 victory there, and Spalding United also being victors. And Gavin Allett, we mentioned strikers in Division 1 North, Gavin Allett getting a goal in Frickley Athletics win.
In Division 1 South. Not North anymore, they've gone into the South. And that might do them a few favours, to be honest. And Gavin Allett, really, we know the quality and the pedigree. He was at Shore Lane last season, helped them get promoted. Such a surprise him going back to Frickley, but he's a lad that obviously doesn't like to travel.
And for those people going, that was a bit brief for Division 1, we do a specific show, and that'll be out in a couple of weeks' time. Right, let's go to the Premier Division now. And obviously, we have to say this, every show now we're coming up with a disclaimer, because I'm fed up of getting grief for not mentioning teams, right? We can only commentate on what's just happened, unfortunately. Last week we put our fingers in the air and went, oh, Alty are going to win it, Stafford are going to win it, Stourbridge are going to win it. Now we've got a game played so far on a Monday, and we can safely say that Grantham Town are going to win the league. Swampy, thoughts?
They're your thoughts, Ben. That's for you to say that. I think the Alty game was a big surprise. Neil Kitchen's done a great job there. They went with a game plan. They had three shots on target, scored three great goals, and defended resolutely. And
three shots on target, wasn't it, for Stafford against Alty?
As I just said, three shots on target, three goals.
Just reaffirming it.
Alty's goalkeeper actually didn't touch the ball, only to take it out of the net three times. But they had a game plan, they'd done tremendously well there. Parky said, he's gone to Altrincham with a philosophy of football, and they're going to stick with that all the way through the season. It was a big upset, but great for Stafford. And as I say, Stafford are a big club, in all fairness, and with a great history as well. So great result for them.
They said they need to do better this season.
Yeah, well, they have to do better this season. I think they've got the right manager there. He's a top draw manager, and they'll compared to last season, you know, they've got to do a lot better.
So for Grantham, you're the guy who comes out with these stats and that kind of thing. Was that the best start Grantham have had to a league season in their history?
That's 5-0. That is what they're saying. So in the 114 year history, the 5-0 was the greatest result they've done on opening day and the top of the league. So again, highest has been in on opening day.
Is anyone surprised? Because we mentioned it last week, they were angry after the Doodson last season. They wanted something from last year to recognise the fact that they did have an incredible season. But
they're a good quality team, and you know they've got a good pick of players in that area as well, and they're going to be right up there, you know. And you know, 5-0, as you say, in the opening game of the season, it's a fantastic start for them. But let's not get carried away with any of the teams, because it's one game in, and you know, you can have a good start or a bad start or an indifferent start. They've had a great start. We'll see what happens for the rest of the, you know, this month especially. So, you know, there's a lot of games coming thick and fast this month, and it'll be really interesting at the end of the month to see who's who, because obviously we've got all this new league structure with 7 teams or 10 teams, or maybe the entire league could go up, it seems to me, or the entire league could go down.
We should form a team. We might have a chance. But just to say, we started with Division 1 North. We should mention both teams who've come up. Lancaster City getting a cracking result at Silverlands, a 2-1 victory there against Buxton, and Farsley Celtic. Look at the strike force that Farsley Celtic have got. Nathan Cartman and James Walshaw there helping Farsley Celtic beat Colville Town by 3-1.
Grounder. Look, they're going to be, with those two up front, they're going to be a force. I mean, Nathan Cartman is top draw. It's I suppose, in fairness to Farsley, depends A, what they've got him on contract, and B, how long if he's not on contract, how long they can keep hold of him for, because you know it was great at Darlington. There'll be other clubs coming looking for him, but they've got, at the moment, if they keep those two players for as much of the season as they can, they're going to be a real, real force.
A mixed bag for the Division 1 South side, who come up Shore Lane, went to Sutton Coldfield, cracking result for Sutton Coldfield. There's 3-1. Totally new side that Richard Snake has formed there. For Witton Albion, a 1-0 draw away at Michelover Sports.
Again, the team last year that were one of them really wanted to mix things up. I mean, as the results are tonight, another one that could potentially call the way to him. The same four teams every year in your mouth are going to be the ones that cause the problems. And we said it all last season. We said one or two of them the season before. They're the ones that you don't want to be going to on a midweek night and I'm just struggling off the get-go, because again, if you fall behind there, it's going to be very, very hard to get back against them.
Right, let me quickly get through these results. Warrington Town and Workington Town, Warrington Town and Workington, pretty much as you were, victories over Rush Olympic and Halesow in Town, respectively, getting the season off to a decent start.
It was a good start to the season, you know, and it's about, for me, the first game of the season is about 3 points. 3 points on the board, not necessarily how you play, it's getting 3 points on the board, because it gives you that confidence to go into the next game. Workington are going to be right up there, no problem at all. Rushall and Halesow in, you know, again, we've spoke about it all last week in the show, and, you know.
We've got evidence now. And Barwell won Whitby Town 0. Good result that for Barwell. And Staleybridge Celtic beating Nantwich Town, that was a good result there.
Again, Staleybridge just need to cement themselves in this division, I think.
You mean the FC United second team?
Staleybridge just needs to cement themselves. Obviously, they've had a tough couple of seasons. I mean, Altrincham and Oldham come down twice in 2 years. But Staleybridge have been down their conference. They expect it to come down. I think they're more prepared for a good fight. I mean, I said last week as well, Staleybridge will either win the league or go get relegated straight away.
They're absolutely fine. They've got a really good manager. He knows the game inside out. And Staleybridge will be fighting for promotion this season for me.
And lastly, Hensford Town 1, Aston United 1. There we go.
Good expected result, I think.
Again, two teams that have high expectations this season. Again, a plethora of FC players at Ashton and Hensford, a team that I've been, to be honest, for them, been in the doldrums for two or three seasons now, and they need to be back up where they think they belong. And, you know, they've got other facilities, they've got a great ground, you know, they've had some great teams in the past, and they need to get back to where they once were, I think.
Well, Swampert, James Hayes, Gibbo, big thank you, and thank you to our host tonight, Officer Collaries. We'll let you know the final score in a second, but from everyone here at Alder House, back to the studio.
And a big, big thank you to Atherton Collieries on Monday night for their wonderful hospitality. And while it might have finished 0-0 at full time, any club that serves Hop Vimto is all right by us. Very shortly, we'll be speaking to the chairman at Belper Town and South Shields. But before all of that, it's now time to look back at all the results that we've not covered yet on this week's show. And Stourbridge drew 1-1 with Matlock Town on Sunday. They followed that up on Tuesday evening with a 1-0 win away from home at Colville Town. Those two results there see Stourbridge up to 8th position. Elsewhere, and on Monday evening, Shawlane 1, Micklover Sports 2 was the final score there. Sees Micklover up to 7th position. Shawlane kicking off the season, having played 2 and lost 2. Certainly a baptism of fire for the club from Barnsley. But it is early days, so let's now speak to the manager at Shawlane for an update on how things are going at the club in their first season at this level. Please welcome to the show Craig Elliott. Hello Craig, how's things?
How you been? Yep, spot on, everything's okay.
Ah, good. So, this season, obviously it's the first season since winning Division 1 South last season, 2 games in. It's been a bit of a tricky start though, hasn't it, for Shawlane this season?
Yeah, it's been disappointing, can't lie. Deserved to lose both games, did play well in both games, and it's sort of welcome to Premier League for us, really. I don't think we've contributed a lot to his own downfall, but yeah, we need to improve, no doubt about that.
Now, obviously, during the close season, there was obviously the issue with the ground. How was close season? Because last year we heard about Sutton Coldfield's problems that they were having with their ground. It's not the best preparation going into a season, that kind of thing, is it?
No, I think it's contributed. I'm part of the reason why we've got off to a bit of a sticky start, because obviously existing players were unsettled. I missed out on a few targets because they weren't sure where we were going to be playing. And obviously we had such a good record at his own ground. We hadn't been beat for 18 months there, and you are moving to a brand new ground and it's sort of different surroundings. And added to that as well, we didn't have many friendlies as well, so we didn't know where we were playing. And I think that's been a major problem for us.
And how's bedding in going with the new ground? I think first competitive game was on Monday night. How does it feel? It is going to take time, that kind of thing, isn't it?
Of course it is, yeah. I mean, I can't sort of thank the, you know, me and the volunteers enough, how they've got it ready for the season, and they've done amazing. But from a football point of view, we've had one friendly there and a couple of training sessions as well, that's only, and we haven't been able to train on the pitch even. So it's going to take time, I agree, and I just think it hasn't helped us, but it's an excuse really. But it hasn't helped simply because we haven't had enough friendlies and got used to his surroundings, I think.
Now going into this season then, obviously I'm going to ask you the expectations question going into this season. Most teams that come up from Division 1 South, like with Stafford Rangers last season for example, it is kind of like a finding your feet, and obviously Stafford Rangers have started the season on their feet and found them quite well. Is that what your expectations were for this season for Shawlane, to find your feet, steady as she goes kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I heard all sorts of rumours that we want to come in and win league and things like that. It's ridiculous. I respect the league and how hard it's going to be, and the chairman does as well, and our expectations were simply to come in this league and sort of establish ourselves as a Premier Division team, and sort of, we realised it were competitive. I don't think we can compete with the top 4 or 5 teams, but I don't think we should be in the bottom sort of 5 or 6. So we've sort of been in the mix, in the middle, where it is a competitive league, and I think there's up to 8-10 teams that will always fancy themselves to sort of get into that top 8 tier, and I think we can be one of them teams, and sort of, if we can find our feet, that's what we want to do, just to be recognised as a solid Premier Division team this season.
And obviously, you're 2 games in now, and it's always the same with pre-season. You don't really know where you are until you kick a ball in anger. Obviously, you talked about the summer comings and goings and that kind of thing. Have you got a settled squad now, or have you got your eye on making a couple more changes?
No, not really. I don't think we've had a settled squad, and I think sort of, like I said, it hasn't helped with the pre-season. We start still using these few games to look at players, get his formation sorted. We've had a few injuries as well, which I'm sure all other managers and teams have, but yeah, it's not been a settled start to the season. But I'm hopeful over the next sort of 2-3 weeks we'll get a few injuries back and we'll get the squad that we want together, and like I said, we can just kick on and get a settled, consistent run of results.
And this weekend, it's the first Saturday game at your new gaff against Hensford Town. Hensford Town haven't had the best of starts no. either, and then you've got that nice trip over to Buxton midweek as well. you talk about the competition this season. It is bonkers, the Premier Division, isn't it, really?
Yeah, obviously we're only 2 games in, but you just even look at results in the first 2 games, I just think it's obvious that teams are going to take points off each other, There'll be no easy games. I mean, I've talked to other managers and they sort of echo them thoughts as well. So I think it's exciting from that point of view. I don't think there's going to be no runaway leader. And I think every week there's going to be sort of results. You couldn't predict the results, sorry. So, yeah, it's exciting and it's going to be hard for us. There's no doubt about that.
Well, Craig Elliott, manager at Charlene, a big thank you for coming on. Wish you all the best of luck in the coming weeks, finding your feet in the Premier Division. And we'll be hearing from you soon.
Thanks a lot, Ben. Cheers, mate.
A big thank you there to Craig Elliott, manager at Charlene, for joining us this week. Further up the table, and there are two teams currently with 100% records. Grantham Town currently lead the way on goal difference, having dispatched Rushall Olympic away from home by 2-0. And Stafford Rangers joins Grantham on 6 points. In second position, Stafford Rangers beat Sutton Coldfield Town by 4-1. And next week, we'll have both Midlands clubs on the show. In third position, though, we've got one of the new boys to the Premier Division, Farsley Celtic. They followed up their opening day victory on Saturday with a midweek draw away from home at Hurst Cross against Ashton United. And joining us now to discuss Farsley Celtic more in depth, we're joined by the manager of Farsley Celtic. Please welcome to the show, Adam Laitland. Hello, Adam. How's things?
Not too bad, thank you.
Welcome to the show, and a very good start to the season, if you don't mind me saying so, for Farsley Celtic.
Yeah, we've obviously had a couple of games. They've both been difficult games, and going into them, I think if somebody would have told us we'd get 4 points from the first couple of fixtures, then we probably would have been happy with that. And we are. I felt like we did enough in the first half on Tuesday night at Ashton to win the game, to be honest. And obviously, if you don't take your chances when you're on top, then you always expect a reaction from the opposition. And, fair play to Ashton for second half coming out. They were much better. They changed the system and it was a much more balanced game. And, we went behind and we showed character to come back and get a point, and it's a result that we're a little bit of frustration there following our first half performance, but over the course of the 90 minutes it's not a bad point to Ashton at any time.
Now obviously this is the first season since Division 1 North last season. Obviously there's been a few changes at Throstle's Nest as well over the summer. How's close season been for you and finding your feet at the club?
It's been great. I mean, from the word go really, it's been, it's very well run. There's a lot of good people at the club, and there's a good structure in place there, which has really just enabled me to kind of go out and do my job throughout the summer. The majority of players we wanted to retain, and we've obviously had to move a few lads out to kind of balance the squad out a little bit. I think that the squad we've put together is really strong and will enable us to be competitive this season, and it gives us good options to play numerous different styles and different systems. I think that we're in quite a good... in quite good shape going into the season, and obviously that's been reflected in a positive start, really.
It is a very competitive division, but Farsley Celtic, like Lancaster, have had decent starts to the campaign. What's your general take on the competition overall?
Well, I worked in it for a season with Curzon Ashton about 3 seasons ago now, and I had the experience then of seeing firsthand how difficult it is. And, probably the biggest thing I learned working with John Flanagan was if you lose, don't get too deflated. And obviously, if you win, try and keep, level-headed. And, just try and take one game at a time, really, because, as you say, it's a very competitive division and teams are capable of taking points off one another. And if you're not at your best, then you're likely to lose. So for us, it's just a case of, doing our preparation, making sure that we're organised, going into every game, making a good account of ourselves, being as competitive as we can, being hard to beat, defending well, and obviously with the options that we have in forward areas, then we always fancy ourselves to create a few chances and get a goal or two. So we're taking it, week by week, game by game, and reassessing where we are every 10, 12 games or so, and kind of making our priorities from there, really.
Hale's Owen this weekend, a trip to the Grove, and then you've got a chance to get acquainted with old friends with that match against Lancaster on Tuesday. It's certainly quite an epic week coming up for the club.
Yeah, busy week, and that's what this division's all about. It's Saturday, Tuesday for 38, 39 weeks, and... it is relentless, and you know, obviously we expect another difficult game on Saturday. You know, it's not an easy place to go, isn't Hales or Owen? You know, so we anticipate another difficult game, as we do on Tuesday when Lancaster come up. I thought they were excellent last year, Lancaster. I watched them, you know, several times, and you know, Brownie's got them really well organised, really well drilled. Again, they defend well, don't concede many goals, and they've got lads who can pinch goals, you know, going the other way. So it's like I said before, you know, every game's a difficult game, and if, you know, I think first and foremost, you've just got to look at yourselves, make sure that you're organised, you're prepared, and that you make a good account of yourselves, you know. Otherwise, you're going to struggle against, no matter who you come up against.
Well, Adam Laitland, manager at Fasley Celtic, thanks for coming on the show. Big congratulations to the start made so far in these opening encounters in the league, and well, wish all the best of luck, and we'll be speaking to you in the coming weeks.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
A big thank you there to Adam Laitland, manager at Fasley Celtic, for joining us on this week's show. They're on 4 points, currently sitting in third position. In fourth position, we've got Warrington Town. They drew 2-2 with Lancaster City at the Giant Axe on Tuesday evening. Lancaster City, like Fasley Celtic, are new to this division, but have started really, really well. Currently sitting in fifth on the same number of points as Fasley Celtic and Warrington Town. And joining me now from Lancaster City, please welcome to the show the manager, it's Phil Brown. Hello, Phil, how's things?
Okay, thanks, Ben. How are you? You okay?
I'm all good. So, you've made a cracking start to your season back in the Premier Division. How you found the first two games?
Tough. Both been real challenges, but we didn't expect anything different, to be honest. But quite pleasing in that we've played two teams who, on previous form, previous seasons, have acquitted themselves very well. You know, many people are talking about them as being up there again this season because of the previous form and obviously the resources available to them. So to get four points out of six is a decent start.
Now, obviously, last season, it was we spoke to you a few times. Obviously, it was to-ing and fro-ing with Fasley Celtic. And what's the close season been like, preparations for the Premier? And what's your thinking been about where you need to strengthen or if you need to strengthen at all over the summer?
Yeah, we did need to bring a few in. We lost a couple of players for different reasons. None that have moved on to other clubs, really. It was more personal circumstances. You know, Jordan Connerton went to play in Australia and Mike Hale couldn't make the step up because of work commitments, obviously, with the extended travelling we've now got. So we did need to bring a couple in to cover a few places. And then we needed to bring a few in, obviously, just to give us a little bit more depth to the squad. Sort of like got a decent squad now. You know, I wouldn't say I'm finished recruiting, but I'm certainly happy with what I've got going into the first days of the season.
And that's the thing, isn't it, Phil? I mean, you don't really know what you've got or how you're going to compete until you've got a few games under your belt. But as you've alluded to, a win against Buxton, a draw against Warrington, I think you're more or less there or thereabouts, aren't you? I mean, what were your expectations for this season?
Yeah, well, I just wanted, in terms of recruiting, I just wanted to bring lads in who basically fit the mould in terms of, you know, culture of the club and, you know, what we were all about. And I think I've done that. I think all the lads that have come in have, you know, fitted in really well. The same type of player in terms of they're honest and they're committed, you know, and obviously, you know, they can play as well, which always helps. So the recruitment side of it, you know, the lads who've come in have fitted in really well. The expectations really are just to do as well as we possibly can, to be honest. Not set any targets at this stage yet. I want to finish nearer the top than the bottom, but I haven't set any targets. The chairman's not asked me, you know, to set any targets. So we're just going to have a look at the first part of the season, weigh up the opposition, have a look how we are as a group, and then maybe we might sit down and, you know, fine-tune a few things.
And obviously, this weekend, you're playing Micklethwaite Sports, and you alluded to Buxton and Warrington, perhaps on paper being what pundits... stupid pundits as well from this show would suggest would be top end. You're playing Micklethwaite this weekend, who many stupid pundits, especially from this show, would say nobody ever knows what to expect from Micklethwaite. And then on Tuesday, you've got a reunion. You're playing Fasley Celtic. So the games are coming thick and fast now.
Yeah, they certainly do come thick and fast. You know, it's Saturday, Tuesday, right from the off. Yeah, Mikel Over a new entity to me in terms of I've never really come across him. Done a little bit of homework on him and obviously take that into account with selection and game plan. But I won't go over the top with that. You know, we are who we are and, you know, we do what we do. So, you know, I've got to focus on my team as well. We've just got to take it as it comes, see how it goes. You know, we'll have a game plan and we'll have a way of approaching that game, and we'll see what comes up. In terms of Farsley, they've probably had a bigger turnover of players than us over the close season. I know Adam, the new manager, quite well. A couple of chats with him. Like you say, it's friends reunited to some extent from last season. I'm expecting a tight encounter on Tuesday. They've had a decent start as well. Got some good players. They've got Nathan Cartman in up top to partner James Walshaw. So you know what we're going to expect, and sort of like the firepower and stuff like that. So two good games coming up, but at this moment in time, I suppose, you know, because we made it a step up, they're all good games, and we're looking forward to it.
Well, Phil Brown, a big congratulations on the start you've made so far to this season, and a big thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to come on the show. And thank you for coming on, and we'll speak to you soon, Phil.
Okay, no problem. Thanks, Ben.
So a big thank you to Phil Brown, manager at Lancaster City, for joining me on this week's show. Also on 4 points, we've got Matlock Town. They followed up their opening day draw on Saturday with a 3-2 home victory over Hensford Town midweek. Michelover Sports and Stourbridge also have 4 points, as do newly promoted Witton Albion. And that's following a marvellous 1-0 victory against Buxton on Tuesday evening. And joining me now to discuss that match as well as the start to the season for Witton Albion, please welcome to the show Carl McCauley. So hello Carl, welcome back to the show, and congratulations on that victory on Tuesday night. Quite a performance that against Buxton.
Hi Ben, thanks very much. Yeah, in terms of a new challenge for this season in a Premier League with probably stronger opposition and what I believe is a big gap between the South League and the Premier. But we've had a great start to the season, drawing away to Michelover, who I do believe will take points off teams. And then we had a great win, our first win of the season, on Tuesday against Buxton.
Now, how's close season been, preparations going into this league? You talk about the gap between Division 1 South and the Premier. How much tinkering have you had to do with last year's squad?
Yeah, we brought 6 or 7 new faces in. We've managed to bring two lads in from higher than the Premier, so that was a good result in terms of getting that balance right. And we've managed to keep majority of players, which we feel are good enough for this level. After performing last year, and obviously we've got a lot of young lads, I should say, in our squad. So yeah, we've kept with faith with them, and like I said, they started the season really well for us.
Now, last season, your side performed miracles, really, because when we spoke, we were talking about, you know, you didn't have the biggest of squads, but yet you were fighting on so many fronts and had so many games to catch up with towards the end of the season. It was quite a remarkable feat that you were still on your feet in many ways. Have you added a bit more weight to the squad to enable you to cope more with the demands, with the number of fixtures that you potentially might have this season?
Yeah, we have, and we have to do that. But of course, when that happens, then obviously you're trying to keep everyone happy, so it's really, really tough to do that, Ben. So like I said, we had 21, 22 in the squad. We've now just lost two important players, who is one being a goalkeeper, Danny Roberts, who was with last year. And because we've had that competition, he wants to go out and he wants to play minutes on the pitch. So we understand that. So, you know, he's moved clubs. And today we've just lost another important player to us, a centre-half in Scott Lacey, who's now moved to Leith. So, like I said, it's really tough getting that balance of, yeah, you want a big squad, but then you're trying to keep everyone happy, which is really, really tough for us.
And what's your expectations for this season? I mean, is it kind of finding your feet this season, not being too troubled by either end, or are you after a bit more this season?
Yeah, it's kind of a mixture, really, because the chairman has been brilliant with us. There's no pressure on us in terms of, hey, we have to be up there challenging. the chairman's message to us is that he just wants to stay in the division. But, you know, mine and Gary's sights of always wanting to do the best we can for the club and for the players. So our ambition is to try get into the top 10.
And just a closing then, Carl. Obviously, this weekend, we talked about the demands of the Premier Division. You're hosting Sutton Coldfield Town. And then on Tuesday night, it's a nice away trip to the west coast of Cumbria to take on Workington. The games are coming thick and fast now for your side, aren't they?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you always do a big journey. It's a tough journey to get with Workington, but they've just done one themselves in terms of playing against Marines, so they've had to travel all the way up to Merseyside. So, yeah, well, you know, we don't look forward to the journey, but we look forward to the game.
Well, Carl McCauley, manager at Witton Albion, a big thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to come on the show. And safe journey up to Workington on Tuesday night. And, well, good luck in these coming weeks in the season.
Cheers, Ben. Thanks very much.
So a big thank you to manager at Witton Albion, Carl McCauley, for joining us on this week's show. Witton Albion currently sitting in ninth. One place below is Whitby Town. They got off to winning ways midweek by beating Stalybridge Celtic by 4-1. Here's the manager now at Whitby Town, Chris Harder, speaking with friend of the show, Paul Connolly, after that match.
I'm joined on the Whitby Town Facebook page by the Blues boss, Chris Harder, after what can only be described as an emphatic win this evening against Stalybridge Celtic. You must be delighted, Chris.
Yeah, I'm over the moon with that. I mean, obviously we talked regarding Saturday and the disappointment of Saturday where we didn't hit the levels. And tonight was the perfect reaction. We got what we were looking for tonight from, you know, the group and individually. I thought we were top draw this evening.
Yeah, and from the get-go, Chris, Whitby were just at it all the time, weren't they?
Yeah, like you say, we seemed to have purpose about what we were doing. We moved the ball quickly. We had, like you say, opportunities created on the back of it. End products more often than not. So, like you say, there was a lot of things to, you know, admire this evening.
Yeah, absolutely. And then just looking at it, Chris, it's going to give you a bit of a selection headache going into Saturday again.
I don't think it does. I think at the end of the day, when the team performs as well as it does, then the team's got a right to start, you know, the next game. Like you say, I'm delighted with the performance tonight.
Yeah, you'd be expecting maybe a different game against Stalybridge on Saturday.
Yeah, possibly. But I think Stalybridge, I think they are going to be there or thereabouts. They're showed quality at times. We dealt with it well. You know, I think, like you say, there was some good possession from ourselves, but at the same time, some good steal from ourselves as well. You know, we needed to tackle and pick up second balls. We did that very well. I thought Steve was outstanding in the middle of the park tonight. Particularly in the second 45, you know, first 45, he was obviously picking his passes. Second 45, he rolled his sleeves up and set the, you know, the tone and the example that we were looking for.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you very much, Chris.
Chris Harder there speaking to Paul Connolly on the Whitby Town Facebook group following that victory against Stalybridge Celtic on Tuesday evening. Whitby Town 4, Stalybridge Celtic 1, the final score there. Workington currently sit in 11th position. They were beaten though midweek away in Merseyside to Marine. Marine winning by 2-0. Here is Tommy Lawson, manager at Marine, speaking to Marine's YouTube channel after that match.
Tom, great result, completely different from the Grantham game, 2-0, clean sheet, you must be really happy with that.
Yeah, absolutely delighted. I mean, I look back to one of the games in the run-in last year, and we played Workington and we got beat 1-0. Joel scored the goal, he's been a thorn in our side tonight, really, really talented lad. You know, but I think our lads have done absolutely tremendous tonight. I think it actually flattered them 2-0. I think it could have been more. That's not taking anything away from them. They had a couple of chances as well. But I don't think if we'd have scored 4 goals, it wouldn't have been unkind. You know, I thought we played well. I thought it was okay. It was a different personnel tonight. Other people were given an opportunity, an early opportunity to show what they had. And I think one or two of them have really grasped the nettle. You know, I think they've done particularly well.
There were quite a few changes, 4 changes from Grantham. You changed the shape a bit. Just talk us through that.
Yeah, we felt the need to do that. And I don't think anybody, I said after the Grantham game, I don't think anybody could have been critical had they lost the shirt, because I thought, apart from one, possibly two players, I don't think the others achieved the levels that they were capable of, you know. That's not taking anything away from Granton, but you know, they deserve the win on the day. I didn't have any qualms about that, but I've said in the past, I don't mind losing as long as we work hard and we do the right thing. We lost to Granton, but we didn't, we capitulated, we didn't you know, put the effort in that we know we're capable of doing, and they punished us because of it, you know, fair play to them. But tonight, as I say, we've changed things, we've changed the personnel, we've changed our shape slightly, and I think we played some really attractive football, and as I say, it was really encouraging, made up, absolutely made up.
And just a couple of days to go, and we've got Barwell next game in the season, so just be prepping for that.
Yeah, Barwell, again, big strong side, you know, got to treat them with an awful lot of respect. They are a good team. But, you know, every team's a good team in this division. We keep saying it, don't we? We say, you know, season in, season out, we say how good this particular division is. It's very, very unforgiving, and you've got to be on your game if you want to get points. That's why it was so pleasing that we've bounced back the way we did tonight. And it's nice to do it in front of our own supporters, you know, and give them, you know, the score that we you know, they've come here to see.
That's Tommy Lawson there speaking following his side's 2-0 victory over Workington midweek. And a big thank you to Marine's YouTube channel there for that piece of audio. Elsewhere on Tuesday night in the NPL Premier Division, Barwell currently sit in 12th position, but they were beaten by 1-0 at the Grove against Halesow in Town. Halesow in Town there moving up to 14th position following that victory. Sutton Coldfield Town currently sitting 13th, Stalybridge Celtic 15th, Marine 16th, Ashton United 17th. And lastly but not leastly for Tuesday night's results, Nantwich Town 1, Altrincham 1. That sees Nantwich Town off the mark now, sitting in 19th position, played 2, lost 1, drawn 1. And that's the same record as 20th placed Altrincham. And that concludes all the results from Tuesday night in the Premier Division. Coming up very, very shortly, we're going to be looking ahead to Saturday's matches in the Premier Division with Mark Carruthers from the Non-League Daily. But we mustn't forget that also this weekend, there's a lot of FA Cup ties involving Division 1 North and Division 1 South sides. And it'll be new to the league, South Shields, who'll be taking most of the limelight as their match will be televised online on the BBC Sport website. And joining me now to discuss this, we're now joined by the chairman at South Shields. Please welcome to the show, Jeff Thompson. Hello, Jeff. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
So this weekend, the FA Cup is very, very exciting, and we'll get to the BBC's coverage in a second or two. But just your thoughts overall about South Shields and the start you've made to this season's campaign.
Well, thanks, Ben. I think firstly, obviously, it's very early days. We had a good pre-season and did quite well in terms of, you know, results. But then, of course, we've only had two matches new to the Evo Stick North. So, you know, two games in, two wins, which is encouraging. And, of course, yes, you're quite right. You know, we've got this exciting FA preliminary round draw this Saturday. So, yeah, so far, so good. As I say, good pre-season and a good early start to the league campaign.
Now, obviously, last season was quite a season for the club, league and VARS winners, and then you've made this step up into step four of non-league. I think we hear, I mean, I'm from Manchester, obviously we hear the rumours of the ambition of the club. I'm also an FC United fan, so I've seen it firsthand how good South Shields are. It was a hard afternoon, to be fair, but what's the plans for the future?
Well, Ben, I've said in the past that you've got to be a bit careful, because if you start to sort of outline this, you know, wildly ambitious plan, then if you slightly fall short, people will remind you of it. But anything I would say is grounded. You know, we're not trying to be sort of arrogant and overly ambitious, but, you know, South Shields has got a great history, a great kind of pedigree. The club originally, you know, in the Football League, and I could quote results like, you know, South Shields 5, Chelsea 0 back in the 1925-26 season. So, but, you know, without going too far back, my point is, you know, long heritage, long history. You know, we've come a long way in a relatively short period of time, over the last 3 years. We are ambitious. As I say, we are grounded. We want to get back to the Football League. That's our plan. But we don't want that to sound like it's some kind of arrogant, rash kind of statement. We want to do it the right way and build a club that's kind of sustainable and hopefully successful over the longer term as well.
This weekend, it is one of those opportunities for the club to announce itself. The BBC picks South Shields against Bridlington. What does that kind of exposure mean for the club at this stage?
Yeah, Ben, I think, you know, it's a huge honour and we're, you know, very privileged, and we, you know, thank the BBC, obviously, for their interest. We'd like to think it just helps further kind of promote the club and, of course, our opponents. But, you know, from a South Shields perspective, it's great sort of publicity for the club, promotes us further. We'd like to play, you know, a good quality, you know, good quality football on Saturday, hopefully come away with the right result. So I think, you know, a combination of that additional exposure from the BBC and hopefully the quality of football that we'll play, all of that, you know, the reach of the BBC quite clearly, you know, a kind of global audience, it can't do us any harm whatsoever. And I'm sure there'll be many sand dancers in the far-flung corners of the globe very keen to, you know, tune in and watch us.
And it'll be a 12:30 kickoff there at the ground at your place. And you're expecting a big crowd. Obviously, it's the FA Cup, and does the television aid that kind of exposure for the club? Does it mean that, you know, you get more secondary supporters coming along as well?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think you know, we had a midweek game in the league this week, and we had just under 1,800 people turn up on a Tuesday night. So that was a terrific turnout from the Shields fans. And obviously, you know, you mentioned earlier the VARs, you know, we had circa 15,000, mm-hmm. probably just slightly shy of that, but, you know, 13,000+ fans down there at Wembley, and that was televised. So in summary, I think, you know, we are expecting a big gate. I'm not sure what influence the live streaming of the game will have. But, you know, we've got South Shields as a town, you know, there's approaching 70,000 or north of 70,000 people, rather, who live there. South Tyneside, around 160,000. Obviously, we're right smack between Sunderland and Newcastle. So there's a big conurbation, and I'm hoping that there'll be a big turnout, and I'm very confident that that will be the case.
And as I said, 12:30 at Baroners Park, and if you're from a bit further afield and you can't make it, it will be available live on the BBC website. Well, Geoff Thompson, because you're playing Bridlington, I can say I hope you win. And thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy day to come on the show, and best of luck this weekend.
Thanks, Ben. That's very kind of you. Thanks very much.
And obviously, it's not just South Shields who are in action this weekend in the FA Cup. Everyone from Division 1 North and South will be in action, including Trafford, who'll be travelling to our very own Kidsgrove. But speaking of Trafford, this weekend, it's not just the FA Cup which takes centre stage at the club. On Sunday, the 20th of August, the club will be hosting a family fun day. And joining me now to discuss this more in depth, we're joined by the manager at Trafford. Please welcome Tom Baker.
Hiya, Ben. How's things, mate? You okay?
I'm all good, mate. I'm all good. So thanks for coming on the show. And we'll get to the FA Cup in a second or two. But just to start off with this Family Fun Day, this coming Sunday, the 20th of August at 2 p.m. at Shoreview. Tell us a bit about it.
Yeah, so basically, Ben, we had the idea in the summer of sort of having an open day where supporters can come down and meet some of the new players that we've brought in. It then sort of escalated from there, where we said, let's make it a family day, where we put stuff on for kids, bouncy castles, face painting, etc. And then that sort of then led to obviously hosting this game. A good friend of mine sort of runs the Celebrity All-Stars team, Jet2 Celebrity All-Stars team. That's who they're sponsored by. So he said, let's get a game going. So in a nutshell, mate, it's like a Trafford Select 11, so a team that I put together to play against the All-Stars team. So my team's obviously mixed of some ex-pros, some staff, some sponsors, obviously against the Jet2 All-Stars. So should be a really good day, loads going on for kids, and we're looking forward to it.
So there's a couple of questions and matters arising from this. Obviously, any names, or is it all surprises for the All-Star team?
No, they've announced some this week. So you've got Alan Alsall, who obviously plays Tyrone off Coronation Street, and Andy Wyman, who plays Kirk. There's a couple of guys off Emmerdale, another guy off Coronation Street, and obviously we're just waiting for some further announcements. But yeah, it's their team's looking pretty strong, and some well-known guys on there for everyone out there who watches the soaps. I don't myself, so some of them I don't know, but I'm sure obviously the people who are into the soaps will know all the guys that are going to be down there on the day.
You're not fooling anyone, Tom. Anyway, so... and obviously the Trafford FC Select 11, one question does spring to mind. Will one of the best midfielders in non-league football of our generation be playing? Will he be coming out of retirement?
Who's that, mate?
That might be you, Tom. Are you coming out of retirement for this?
I am, mate. I will be playing in the game, yeah. I'll be trying to, so that should be interesting. but yeah, it's we've got a decent side and some really good names. Obviously, Gary Flitcroft, one of my good mates, he's going to manage our team for the day. So yeah, we've got some good names.
Absolutely, well, it's cracking stuff. So that's Sunday the 20th of August at Shawview down there in Ermston Flixton area, face painting, bouncy castles, a penalty shootout, plus that TV All-Stars team against Tom Baker and his Trafford FC Select 11. Bar open, there'll be hot food and all kinds of stuff. Cracking event there at Shawview. Now, just before we go, Tom, just a quick mention for the FA Cup this weekend. We've just had the chairman of South Shields on, and obviously they're going to be on telly this weekend. But there's a plethora of fixtures involving Division 1 North and South teams, and you're in one of the picks of the round, I think, an all-MPL affair against Kidsgrove Athletic. What are you expecting?
A tough game, Ben. I think, obviously, to draw a team, there's still lower teams in the competition, so to draw a team at the same level as you is always going to be tough. It's going to be an even game, I would imagine. I watched Kidsgrove this week. They played a very good Chase Town team, but they drew 1-1, so it's going to be tough, but you know, we'll treat it like any other game, because that's all it is at the end of the day, and we'll give it everything we've got to try and get into the next round.
It's very exciting times, this, as well, isn't it? But what have you made of the start of the season as well? It's been a bit
frustrating,
yeah. I'm going to say that, but it is one of those leagues where I think you can have a bit of a sluggish start and crawl your way back up quite easily enough, because everyone takes points off each other.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, Ben, we could be quite easily sat here on 4 points. I'll be straight with you. We played South Shields the first day, who obviously was everyone's tip to walk the league, and we went 1-0 up. We've lost the game 2-1 to two individual errors. We've had a penalty turned down, and honestly, hand on my heart, South Shields are a very good team, but I think even if you spoke to them and we spoke to some of their guys after the game, a point apiece, a draw, was a really fair result on that day. We were as good as South Shields on that day, I'll say that. But again, from a good side. And then obviously Skemming the week away was always going to be a tough fixture. Real good forward line in Andy Owens and Richard Brodie, who were a real handful. But again, we went 1-0 up, and we've let a really sloppy goal in ourselves, and we've come away with a point. But tough start, mate, but it's early days. We've got a hell of a lot of injuries. I mean, four or five of the lads that I brought in the summer are unavailable at the minute, which is making things tough. But we'll keep going, and hopefully we can start on Saturday with a good win.
Well, obviously, we do get accused of being a Manx-centric show, so I can't wish you more luck than Kidsgrove. But I do wish you the best of luck this Sunday, 20th of August, 2 o'clock, kick-off. Doors open at 12 noon at Shawview. The TV All-Stars against the Select 11, plus a family fun day. Tom Baker, manager at Trafford, a big thank you for joining us this weekend, and have a good week.
Cheers, Ben. Thank you, guys.
Very shortly, we'll be speaking to the Non-League Daily's very own Matt Carruthers with a preview for all this weekend's fixtures. But just a small piece of news to give you with regards to Groundsman. And the Football Association's 2017 Groundsman of the Year Awards has been announced. And I'm happy to reveal that Belper Town's Phil Varney, Trafford's Graham Foxall and Marine's John Peterson were awarded top turfmen in the MPL's three divisions and in first, second and third place respectively. And the accolades didn't stop there, as Belper Town's vice chairman and MPL league director Phil Varney also scooped third place in the national awards at step 3 and 4. And for more on this now, we're joined by the chairman at Belper Town. Here's Alan Benfield. Welcome to the show, Alan.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. Yeah,
I've been to the Masters Stadium a couple of times, and it is a lovely, lovely pitch. And what does this accolade mean for the club?
You know, I mean, the people that have been on the pitch, have done the pitch, have done a fantastic job. They put a lot of time and effort into it, and it's a lovely place to be down there, and it just, you know, just sets it off, doesn't it? Oh, it means everything, really. It's just that it's like there's three people that are doing the pitch. Phil's the main one, and you know, it means a lot, especially to win third in the country. That's fantastic, isn't it?
It's a cracking accolade, and
just
before you go as well, Alan, just a quick mention for Belper Town this season. Obviously, a few seasons ago, came down from the Premier back to this level. What's your expectations for this season for Belper?
Oh, the expectation, we've got two lads now that are taking it over, two young managers. They're getting a cracking team put together. They've got some young players there, some great professionals, and I'm hoping, all right, not this year, but next year we should be back up there again.
And up for a bit of an FA Cup run this weekend. What are you hoping?
Hopefully, but we've got a tough one with Lincoln, I'm afraid. that it'll be a tough game at Lincoln.
Well,
if we can bring them back Tuesday night, I think we might get a result.
Well, I think Lincoln United has pointed the way to, you know, it's possible to go on a good cup run from Division 1 South, and well, hopefully someone from Division 1 South will go on that cup run. And, well, thank you, Alan Benfield, brilliant. Chairman at Belper Town. And once again, a big congratulations to Phil Varney and all the ground staff there at the Maston Stadium. Cracking stuff. And thanks for coming on the show, Alan.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Thanks. It was great.
So it's now time to look ahead to this weekend's fixtures in the Premier Division, and joining me now to discuss a plethora of exciting fixtures, we're now joined by the wonderful, the marvellous, and making his debut for this season, it's Mark Carruthers, the editor of Non-League Daily. Hello, Mark. Welcome back to the show.
I think you slightly oversell me a bit there, but thanks for that.
No problem at all. So, first things first, what have you made of the start of the season? I mean, Grantham Town... I think this is their best start they've ever had in the history of the club. It's been a cracking start. This weekend, they'll be travelling to Hurst Cross to take on Ashton United and joining them on 100% record with one goal less on the goal difference tally, one goal conceded, rather. We've got Stafford Rangers, who'll be hosting Buxton. Firstly, Mark, your thoughts on, well, Grantham, what a start.
The season hasn't really settled in yet, has it? I think, you know, if you were going to say... After the first week of the season, there was going to be two or three teams at the top. You may not have identified the ones that are there. But Grantham have, you know, they've had a great start to the season. I think we say this quite often. They're a club that always punch above their weight. I find that with them. Lee Shaw's had a good start to the season. Obviously scored twice against Rushall in midweek. So it's a great start for them. It is going to be a challenge to carry it on. But... What a great job the management team are doing there, and long may it continue, because it's a great club and you always get a good welcome when you're there.
And we mentioned this last week on the NPL show, the town is getting behind them as well. I think they sold double the number of season tickets they did last year, and that goes to show you they did have a cracking season last year. I think last year was the surprise. I don't necessarily think this year them being pulling out the results they have in this opening week, I don't necessarily think that is a surprise. I think, you know, this, you could tell the management team were angry with the way they lost in the Doulton final and that they did fade away towards the end of last season. And it looks like they want to be one of the runners and riders this season for certainly the playoffs, certainly.
I think that's probably where they'll finish this year. I mean, it is, again, I will say, very, very early stages. But if you can get off to a good start, you know, you can afford a couple of slips, not that you want to make them. But they've done that, you know, one away win, one home win. It's a good start. Saturday will be tough. It's going to be a tough game. It always is at Ashton. But if they get a result there, they can kick on again. And if they can improve on last year, which, as you quite rightly say, was a fantastic season for them, then there's no reason why they can't reach the playoffs.
moving along to Stafford Rangers, and obviously last season they threatened it. They had a sluggish start, didn't they? And Neil Kitchen, whenever we had him on and whenever we heard his interviews on Stafford Rangers TV, you could tell they were toying with the idea of going on a late run, and no one on this show would put it past them. But it just didn't really work out for them. But this year, they've started like a house on fire, haven't they?
Yeah, and I like Neil. I think whenever I hear him, as you say, they're giving interviews on the TV channel they've got there, I always find myself constantly nodding because I seem to agree with, you know, 99% of what he says. He's just a common sense manager. You know, he doesn't make any outlandish predictions. He doesn't go in there and say, you know, they're going to do this, that, and this. He just talks real, and that's something a lot of managers could learn from. What I would say again, the game against Sutton Coldfield, 640 in there. Again, you mentioned Grantham having the town behind them. It's clear that Stafford Rangers got that as well. Great result against Sutton Coldfield Town. A good start of the season. I think last year was just a bit of a kind of bedding in season, yes, for them in the Evo State as well. But they made a few changes in the summer, and again another one, probably a little bit like Grantham, where you wouldn't be too surprised if they were there or thereabouts.
We would say that about Buxton as well, but they've had a bit of a sluggish start, really. Not the best of starts that I would have thought that they were expecting. Still a long way to go, but this is going to be a tough game for their third outing in the league this season.
It is, yeah. Buxton, I think every time I come on here, I say what a big admirer of Martin McIntosh I am. I think he's done a fantastic job there. You know, several players have gone on to play at high levels from Buxton. And I kind of think they go under the radar a bit on the national scale. They don't get the credit they deserve for producing the players that they do produce. They do have had a slow start, as you said, but I think there's enough quality in that squad to really kick on. They just need to get that first win. You probably wouldn't be surprised if it does happen on Saturday.
Now, you mentioned with Stafford Rangers last season was a bit of a bedding in season. I think that's certainly the case for Stafford Rangers, and also certainly the case for Warrington Town. Warrington Town, yes, this weekend will be travelling to Colville Town, who had their own version of a bedding in season last season. It's not been the best of starts for Colville. It's certainly been a much better start for Warrington. The pressure's on, though, isn't it, Warrington, to keep this going now?
Yeah, they obviously had the momentum from the cup run they had 3 years ago, and it just seemed to slow down a little bit last year, but I've been really impressed with the recruitment they've had in the summer. The likes of, obviously, Josh Hines gone there and made a good start. I've got to be honest, if you're looking at someone for I'm not going to say they're going to win the title, but you probably put them in that little package of contenders, along with Altrincham, again, another club we'll come on to. But you're probably right, there is a bit of pressure on Warrington this year to use last season as the, again, we keep saying this phrase, the bedding in period, and then this year really kick on and have a serious push for promotion.
Now, we've already spoke to some of the newbies in the league this season, and obviously Fraser Celtic and Lancaster City have had superb starts, basically hitting off where they left us last season in Division 1 North. Third and fifth, respectively. Fraser Celtic in third position, Lancaster City in fifth. Shouldn't be surprised at all, really. I mean, I saw Fraser Celtic's goal scorers earlier in the week, James Walshaw and one Nathan Cartman. That's quite a strike force that Fraser Celtic have got, certainly. Fraser Celtic this weekend, they'll be travelling to Hales Owen, who've got themselves on the board with a good result midweek against Barwell. And Lancaster City will be hosting Michelover Sports, the one of the more unpredictable sides in the NPL Premier Division, in my humble opinion, who nobody would ever like to play on a Saturday.
Yeah, as you say, you know, Lancaster have had a good start. They've made, again, some good signs this summer. Gavin Clark's got off a good start, two goals in midweek. It's Michelover, it's kind of you never know what you're going to get from them. They can turn up and really upset one of the big boys, or they can roll over, for want of a better phrase. That makes them a dangerous opponent, though, because you can't really prepare as a manager. You can't prepare for what you're going to face because you just don't know what's happening. I fancy Lancaster to sneak this one. They've come up, they've got momentum with them, and I think, you know, it's a big club. It's a club that performed well last year. And I think that might carry on this year.
Well, it's a big town, Lancaster City, isn't it? And you know, they have had some glorious seasons in the past, and you know, if they made it into the National League North, for example, at some point down the line, as a name, it's quite suited to that level, and maybe even one higher, perhaps.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's you know, they've had some big name managers as well. I'm fairly certain it was only 2 years ago they had Darren Peacock,
yeah,
his former Premier League players. They can clearly attract the names. They just need to get that level and then consolidate at that level. But as you and I know, the Eurostick isn't the easiest league to get out of.
And you mentioned big names. Obviously, I touched upon James Walshaw and Nathan Cartman at Farsley Celtic. That's some strike force they've got there, and they'll be travelling to Hales Owen this weekend. And Hales Owen, they're off and running now with that win against Barwell midweek. It's a tricky one, isn't it? I mean, Hales Owen, they had a terrible start to the season last year with injuries and John Hill not quite getting the starting 11 he'd like on the pitch. That said, Farsley Celtic coming to town, they've got the scoring boots on, haven't they?
They have, yeah. I think Nathan Cartman, someone I know well from up here at Darlington, for me is a National League North striker. He should be, you know, playing his trade in that division. I think he could be the one that will really kick Farsley on this season because he gets key goals in key games. He's a big name player, and that's some strike partnership they've got there. James Walshaw's proven goal scorer. I just see them nicking games for them, to be honest, and I think they'll do it again this week. Hales Owen, for me, have kind of taken over this traditional mantle that Rushall had, which was always a difficult place to go, and I think Hales Owen's kind of turned into that now. Where
the Grove's a lovely ground. The Grove is lovely.
I love it.
Yes,
it's just always a difficult place to go where they're in your face. They want to put teams off their game and kind of dominate rather than letting you do it. I do think that Farsley might snigger this weekend, though, thanks to the two strikers.
And I'm right in saying at the Grove, and I know what you meant, don't worry, I'm sure the listener knows, but I'm pretty sure at the Grove they do chicken balti pies, and they're very nice. Very nice indeed. So that's catering corner covered. Matlock Town, they're currently in sixth position. This weekend they'll be hosting Altrincham. Now, we touched upon this last week that, everyone's fancying Altrincham this season, and rightfully so. But if results don't go the way early in the season, the pressure suddenly starts to mount, and there's easier places to go to than Causeway Lane, to be honest.
Yeah, there certainly is. And I think, to be honest, I should apologise to Altrincham fans here because I tipped them to win the league pre-season. I probably wouldn't say
it's
I was the only one.
It's his fault, everyone.
So it's absolutely my fault. But the thing is, and I think what we've seen in the Eurostick League over the last few years is teams who come down from the National League North traditionally haven't actually done that well. I was at Spartans when they came down, they struggled and finished, I think it was 14th. The teams that came down last year obviously didn't do very well. So they've got to be careful here, Altrincham. I do like Parkinson, the manager. I think he's did a great job at Nantwich.
Whitby Town hosting Stourbridge this weekend. I think everyone accepts that Stourbridge are going to be there or thereabouts this season. It feels like, with them and Workington, it feels like it should be their time to try and mount something a bit more serious up towards the top end. Whitby Town, though, we're a bit unsure about Whitby Town around the table last week. What's Chris Hardy up to?
Well, again, another one who's obviously lost big-name players over the summer, but they do hold one very key player, which is David Carson, who I think is, for me, one of the best players in the league. With Whitby, I always feel as if they've got a strong start in 11, but then after that, there's not a lot in the squad, and that could be where they come a crop. I can see them having a similar sort of season to what they had last year.
That was a good season last year, so hopefully that's the case. So that's going to be Whitby Town, who are currently in 10th, against Stourbridge, currently in 8th. Very early days, though. We should have said that as a disclaimer at the start of all this. In 9th place, we've got Witton Albion, and Witton Albion will be hosting Sutton Coldfield this season, this weekend. And I said last week that Sutton Coldfield are going to have a much better season than they had last season. Witton Albion, obviously new to the division, but I think everyone accepts that Witton Albion are going to be decent this season. What do you think about Sutton Coldfield? It can't be any worse than the start they had last season when they didn't even have a pitch.
Yeah, and not just that, but I think last year a lot of people were tipping them to go down, purely because they didn't have a great start. But what we shouldn't ignore is that they did upset a lot of the big boys last year. Clubs that got promoted, Spartans, Spennymoor, I think both got beat at Sutton Coldfield. And I can see them doing that again this year. The way they're set up, the sort of players they've got in the squad will always raise their game against the biggest sides. Whether or not you would class Witton as one of the biggest sides, I'm not too sure. Obviously, as you say, newly promoted. But I've always had a soft spot for Witton. And that's not because Simo's paid me to say that. they were the first Evo Stick club I ever visited, and obviously you always get a good welcome down there. So I hope they do well this year, Witten. They've got off to a pretty solid start. That was a big win in midweek against Buxton. I think they'll be happy with mid-table, just kind of have a solid season this year and then kick on next year. I think this one might be a draw.
And in 12th position, we've got, sorry, in 11th position, we've got Workington. And we touched upon Workington. Last year was a kind of transitional year, but they still cobbled together a promotion run and got themselves into the playoffs. And no one would put it past them to do the same this season. But they're travelling to Nantwich Town. Nantwich Town's an interesting one because I think that match on Tuesday against Olche might be pivotal for their season to kickstart it.
Yeah, I'd agree. I love watching Nantwich, and I think I keep saying this when I come on, that they're such an attacking side, and you would hope the new man there is going to continue doing the good work that Parkinson did last year and the year before. I just think they may fall short this year, but I wouldn't say the same for Workington. I think I can see Workington. You said earlier it's their time this season, and I think what we shouldn't ignore last year, you know, there's a lot of changes off the field. They never seemed to settle, yet still finished, as you say, in the playoff places. So I think Working, you could be right, it could be their time this year. They could be one of the title challengers.
There's only a few more games we've not covered yet. Barwell, currently in 12th position. They're travelling to Marine. Marine have had a decent start, as of Barwell. I think both clubs are going to fall into that gang of four category that Barwell were involved with last season. They are going to be a pain in the backside, aren't they, for a lot of teams. Last week we were discussing, can Barwell go a step further? Because they have been threatening being one of those playoff on the fringes kind of teams.
If they'd held on to Brady Hickey, then I would have said yes. But I think Brady is one of the best midfielders I've seen in the Evo Stick for a long time. I just think that his loss may leave them falling a little bit short, somewhere between 10 and 12 this season. Marine, it's been very un-Marine-like this season. They normally get off to a poor start and then build momentum as the season goes on. But a good win in midweek against Workington at home. And Marina, we say this all the time, I think everyone says it, a great club and historically a good club where you get a great welcome. And you would like to see them not have to struggle like they've done the last couple of years and just have a bit of success there.
And two other great clubs in the league go head-to-head. Rushall Olympic against Stalybridge Celtic. Stalybridge have had an okay-ish start. Rushall Olympic, not so much. I still think they're trying to find their feet, aren't they, after Alex Reid leaving, bizarrely, I think.
I'm just not sure what to expect from Rushall this year. A lot of changes over the last couple of years. They've brought in some eye-catching signings over the summer, but again, as you say, since Reid's left, they just seem to have a bit of a void there, and that's something the management team may have to look at. As for Stalybridge, they're another one I'm just not sure what to expect. They have got a lot of big-name players who I think may just pull them through. If they can get it together quickly, they would be a one that you think maybe could sneak in the playoffs.
Now, lastly but not leastly, Shaw Lane against Hensford Town. We've already heard from Craig Elliott on this week's show. Baptism of fire, let's say, for Shaw Lane. What do you think for this one?
Well, with Hensford last year, there was just so many changes that they just couldn't settle, and it just seemed like it was one thing after another. With Neil, though, I think they've got someone who knows the league, who knows how to get wins against clubs at every level in the division. Shaw Lane, again, I just don't know what to expect from them this year. Another club that have made some great signings over the summer, but will have to get used to the level. They will have to get used to playing against bigger clubs. And a lot will depend on how quickly they make that adjustment.
Well, Matt Carruthers, welcome back. We've only got another 10 months of this, my friend. From Non-League Daily, the editor, just a quick plug for Non-League Daily and what's coming up over the next week or so.
Yeah, obviously big weekend in the FA Cup this weekend. As I think everyone knows, I'm from the North East, so quite a big weekend up here for South Shields, who will have the BBC cameras there for the online coverage that they're doing this year. They play Bridley and Town, but we'll be covering everything in the FA Cup and the leagues over the next couple of weeks. And just when things are starting to settle down in the leagues, I'm sure something interesting will pop up. Seems to be in any amounts of dramatic stories already this season. I will say as well, obviously everyone, I'm presuming, who listens to the non-league show, big well done to Caroline Barker on her appointment.
Absolutely.
To the National League podcast. A massive well done to Caroline Barker, someone who's Champions Non-League Football and has been appointed to the National League Board. Caroline's work has been excellent and really chuffed for her.
And that's nearly it for this week's show. Just a reminder that there are loads of FA Cup matches this weekend, which we've not covered because it would need a podcast all of its own. Just head over to the EvoStick League website, evostickleague.co.uk, and go on the fixtures tab. There's loads of really exciting FA Cup action taking place on Saturday. For those involving purely just NPL sides, we hope football and pies are the winner. And for everyone else, we hope that every single NPL side makes it through to the next round. But that's it for this week's NPL show. A big thank you to all my guests for joining me. A special thanks as well to Atherton Collieries for hosting us on Monday evening. And a special thanks to the media teams at Marine and Whitby Town for allowing us access to their interviews this week. Remember, you can follow this show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. And you can get involved with all the discussions and chatter on the old internet. That's at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. And for all the latest news, please visit evostickleague.co.uk. But I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your EvoStick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.